And then when we did come up with a good virus sample, allegedly, we didn't say use that virus sample to change a test. No, we said use a virus sample to see how yours is. And then they find out one test can be only 1/3,000th as sensitive as another, or even less than that. But they let that ride and still let them be used for propaganda and for diagnostic purposes all the way to the end of 2021. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I am going to share some great information from John Rappaport. And the conclusion is going to be all of the PCR tests were so wildly varying that you didn't even really have the same test between any of them. None of them were ever really reporting in the same fashion, and not even close. And I mean, like, some tests were only 1/3,000th as sensitive as other tests. So I'm talking the nasopharyngeal swab, the PCR type tests. So that's what we're going to get to. Now let's go there. So first, John Rappaport, no more fake news. Very good source. He talks about the 7/21/21 release from the CDC. We've talked about this before. Kim first discovered it in Kimology 411. I discovered the details later. This is where in July 21 of 21, the CD said, yeah, you got to stop using the PCR tests, but you have all the way until 12/31/2021. I'm going to quote that, and then we'll get to the underlying document that tells us even more about what that means. And it's pretty explosive. I mean, basically that the basis for the test was not a specimen. The basis for the test was, hey, just come up with something and make your test. Just do your best. You just come up with something. All of you separately can come up with something. Just whatever you think, come up with your tests. Thank you very much. That's the paraphrase. But first, we'll get to the 7/21/21 lab alert that says, hey, don't use these tests after this. Quote, after December 31st, 2021, CDC will withdraw the request to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, for emergency use authorization, EUA, of the CDC 2019 novel coronavirus, (2019-nCoV), real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel. The assay, first introduced in February 2020 for detection of SARS-CoV-2 only. CDC is providing this advance notice for clinical laboratories to have adequate time to select and implement one of the many FDA-authorized alternatives. That linked to an FDA release titled SARS-CoV-2 Reference Panel Comparative Data. And this is quite a quote. During the early months of the coronavirus disease 2019, I'm going to ... here and there, pandemic, clinical specimens of the virus, that would be, were not readily available to developers of IVDs, in vitro diagnostics, to detect SARS-CoV-2. Now, hold on just a moment. So where are they going with this? Not readily available? This is what I'm saying. This is a pay attention moment. It sounds as though, because it was during the early months that the clinical specimens of the virus were not readily available, that's why early developers of IVDs, in vitro diagnostics, to detect SARS-CoV-2 didn't have them, and it sounds like apparently they didn't rely on them. But that's a false qualification, because they never relied on the clinical specimen. To this moment, they never have. They've never relied and based their test around the clinical specimen. So continuing then, therefore, the FDA authorized IVDs, that'd be in vitro diagnostics, based on available data from contrived samples generated from a range of SARS-CoV-2 material sources. For example, gene-specific RNA, synthetic RNA, or whole genome viral RNA for analytical and clinical performance evaluation. But wait, guys, an important point. So they're saying, we didn't have the clinical specimens, and yet we wanted people to create the tests. It's not that they authorized the tests by themselves coming up with a standard, give or take, contrived sample. No, it's not one contrived sample, but note the word contrived. This is a CDC word. Therefore, the FDA authorized IVDs, plural, based on available data from contrived samples, plural, generated from a range of SARS-CoV-2 material sources, gene-specific RNA, synthetic RNA, or whole genome viral RNA, for analytical and clinical performance of evaluation. What that ends up meaning, and you'll find this soon enough, but I want to give you a little context, is that they mean anybody who was going to create the test got to come up with that approximation of the source material. And here's the further validation that it was indeed, hey, just go make it up. Okay, do something, all right? Just go do something. Many material sources, gene-specific RNA, synthetic RNA, whole genome viral RNA, whatever. While validation using these contrived specimens, plural, provided a measure of confidence in test performance at the beginning of the pandemic, it is not feasible to precisely compare the performance of various tests that use contrived specimens because each test validated performance using samples derived from different gene-specific, synthetic, or genomic nucleic acid sources. Well, yeah, you can. Once you get a standard, you can compare it and say, yeah, you shouldn't use that source material. Turns out it sucked. So let's go on to where I'm telling you there's a humongous difference in these actual results to the extent they actually had results. Again, there is no standard for any of these tests. But in that document, SARS-CoV-2 reference panel comparative data, the CDC says, hey, we do now have a reference panel, if you will, reference material. They supposedly had this reference panel, this real standard of what the virus actually is, in May of 2020. Now, did they then say, hey, PCR test folks, use this as your standard for your new tests? Nope. No, they say, keep making off whatever garbage you created your test off of. But if you want, you can use this reference material to check how good yours is. So then they say, well, we developed in May of 2020, and as of November of 2020, we had contacted a lot of the developers, and we had actually sent the reference panel to 190 different developers. Go ahead and use our standard to check your material and report back. And maybe the reporting back is why they finally said, yeah, I guess we shouldn't use this anymore. How did it take a year and a half to not distribute that as the source of the new PCR test? How do they say just stop using PCR test altogether? And it took a year and 9 months to say that. But somewhere in there, you couldn't say use this reference standard. That's a confusing thing to me. Because I don't find that in the communication. One thing I want to compare to is, remember I told you there was a difference of about 3,000 multiple of accuracy. So what they have is a table on this same website, FDA.gov, U.S. Food and Drug Administration. SARS-CoV-2 reference panel comparative data is the name of it. They say the content is current as of 12/7/2020. Which is odd because you think they could have done more by now. The best they come to comparing is a reference panel results, and it's dozens and dozens of different results. And this is sensitivity estimates, and it's swabs and transport media. The note on this table 2A, which has dozens and dozens of different companies' results, is that these are nasopharyngeal swabs unless otherwise noted. So those swabs that go up your nose. But without going into a bunch of them, I'll tell you that there are dozens and dozens and dozens, because I think most of these 190 or so that they got results back from are in this category. There's another category that's saliva. And there's another category in between there that's direct swabs, dry swabs, whatever that means. So most of the, and both of those are small categories as far as the results I got back. So it looks like most of the 190-ish that they got back or the nasopharyngeal, and the difference in limit of detection. So this is, what's the minimum amount of units that this can detect? It doesn't really matter the units, but I'll tell you, it's NAAT detectable units per milliliter. So for whatever it's worth, NDU per milliliter or NAAT detectable units per milliliter is the units. It's how many of these per milliliter. It is the least that they can detect. Well, at the most sensitive end is 180. A Perkin-Elmer and a Viracor Eurofins Clinical Diagnostics can allegedly detect COVID-19, at least as to the reference standard, all the way down to only 180 of these units per milliliter. But then you have wildly varying, not three times. You have some of those that are 540. That's 300%, guys. And this is apples to apples as far as sensitivity, too. So in any of these cases, if you cranked it up to the same sensitivity, you'd have the same ratio. So you've got some of them that are 540, so only one-third is sensitive. You've got other ones that are at 1,800. It takes 10 times as much in order for it to detect COVID-19. And then 5,400. So it's 30 times as much. And on and on and on, there's many of these tests that take 18,000 of these units in order to detect COVID at all. That's 100 times as much as the most sensitive test. So how is there any standardization? There is no, quote, test, because there's so much variance between the test. And if it's this non-standard, then they never should have used them. It's quite predictable that it could be this non-standard, considering they said, yeah, just make up something. And then they didn't go, okay, guys, make up something for a limited time, but understand we're working on this specimen as soon as possible. So you can make it for a limited time, but don't be over manufacturing for 6 months and 9 months and a year's worth, because we are going to give you a better standard. Understand, this is your temporary test. Nope, just keep manufacturing them. So I'm up to 18,000 units instead of 180. So many of these companies have something that takes at least 18,000 of these units per milliliter to detect COVID. But some other ones are three times that. And then some other ones are 180,000. Literally, it takes 1,000 times as much in order for it to detect COVID. That's the limit of detection, 180,000 versus another manufacturer's only 180. And then there's more. There's another one. Now, this is the far end of the spectrum, but nonetheless, there's one test that requires three times that. So literally, it takes 3,000 times as much as the best or most sensitive test to detect COVID. It takes 3,000 times as many units, or as many particles, if you will. And another one, Boston Medical Center, fractionally more than that. It takes 600,000 NDU, you know, the units per milliliter, for it to detect this. Yet at the lowest end, it's only 180, not 180,000, 180. 180 versus 600,000. There was never any consistency to these tests so that they were any better than garbage in, garbage out type of basic arguments about computer science. There was never any data precision to these. We should have never relied on anything more than just symptoms. And especially when we don't even know what the reference sample is. Is it a good reference sample? Because remember, PCR doesn't look for the whole thing. It looks for some part of it. So, yeah, very interesting that they admit that, hey, all the early tests, yeah, they were just created from a bunch of whatevers. And then when we did come up with a good virus sample, allegedly, we didn't say use that virus sample to change a test. No, we said use a virus sample to see how yours is. And then they find out one test can be only 1/3,000th as sensitive as another, or even less than that. But they let that ride and still let them be used for propaganda and for diagnostic purposes all the way to the end of 2021. That is what I have for today. Again, the initial idea for it came off of a No More Fake News article that I'm not quite interpreting quite the way he is. It is a very good article, don't get me wrong, because it is pointing out, yeah, we made it up. He's saying that, well, they would eventually use a PCR test again. I believe that too, because you wouldn't get rid of the PCR test. Remember the value of, well, you got a positive test. Whether you feel sick or not, we are telling you got a positive test. And remember that Carrie Mullis and others have said, I mean, literally the inventor or co-inventor, if you will, of the PCR test, is there's enough fragmentary stuff. If you look for something approximate and you magnify it enough, you can find anything in the body practically. So the PCR tests are going nowhere, but they were never based on anything real. If you consider that there should be some kind of a standard for it, you found out that some of them are only 1/3,000th as sensitive using your sample as others. In other words, you screwed up big time. And then again, they didn't then say, well, we got the actual sample in May of 2020. Well, shouldn't you have been fast tracking that all those folks, in order to stay authorized as tests, as test givers, had to convert to your reference sample to use that as what drove their diagnostic? Nope. It's been a fable for a long time. You didn't exactly understand why the PCR tests were so widely varying, but really the data was there all along. Okay, guys, that's it. Please go ahead and click on notifications in your podcast platform so that you do get and can keep up with all of my new episodes. I've been putting quite a few out lately. And of course, you can find me over on Chemology 411. Thanks, guys.